Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true, doggone it. Here we are on the 22nd of September. It is the beginning of autumn, the autumnal equinox. I am so excited because you know what that means, don't you? At least it darn well better mean this, that cooler weather is on the way. I'm moving from Phoenix. I know how warm it is in Phoenix and all of that stuff, even through September and October. And even living on the Central Coast, when it pops into the 80s, it's like, no, back down into the 60s. How dare you? That's not what I ordered. And I know a lot of folks love the warmer weather, and that's wonderful, but I'm excited about the cooler weather coming. They're predicting rain over the course of the next few months. El Nino, we'll see what happens. We'll be excited no matter what the weather is. It's great to have you with us. And we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, streaming live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we're rebroadcast on Sundays at 3 p.m. at a2zen.fm. Today's a very special program because we are going to be talking with one of, I would have to say, I will use the term co-host, but we never work together until today. We don't co-host a show together, but we are both hosts on a2zen.fm. My guest is Margot Kurtikar. She is the author of several books. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm actually amazed at the number of books that you've written. One in particular, Cosmic and Universal Laws. And I made the reference in our promo on the station that We're basically all going to be taking the cosmic bar exam here today to try to to try to figure out if we pass it, then maybe we will get to move on to the next level too. Margot, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Richard. It's lovely to be here with you.
I'm just out of curiosity, how long have you been hosting over on A to Zen?
Oh, that's very new because I'm not really a speaker. I'm a quiet person and I'm a writer. I don't speak much. But I was challenged with that, and I thought, why not? I can try. I can give it a try and see. If it works, fine. If it doesn't, I'll leave it. And I've done, I think, 12 shows so far, and I see myself improving, so, and I'm enjoying it. So
I was going to say, for a quiet person, you chose the wrong profession. But I know you're doing a great job, and it's great to have you on the program. You are, and this is interesting, because when I first began my search at the age of 17, and I was still very familiar with a lot of the spiritual aspects, and of course, I'd heard the word many, many times, the word metaphysics, metaphysical, and so on and so forth. But I wasn't aware, and we're talking now going back to like 1977, that you could actually get a doctorate in metaphysics. Well, and you have a PhD.
Yes, I have a PhD, but that's very new because it didn't exist in the 70s, I think. I was one of the first students, maybe, who did that with this AI, American Institute of Holistic Theology, it's called.
Oh, okay.
When I saw it, I thought that's it. That was for me because I was in the business world for many years, and I was working towards my DBA, Doctor of Business Administration. Mm-hmm. And then I dropped out because I was totally, I can say, disgusted with the business world and the way it's going. You know,
and nothing's changed, has it?
Nothing has changed. It's gotten from bad to worse. And so I decided this is it. I don't want to know anything about business anymore. And then exactly then, during those days when I didn't know where to turn or what to do, I found this ad about this university that gives this degree. So I got in touch with them and I said, look, I have all these degrees, bachelor and master's and with all sorts of, you know, business and economics and international relations and so on. And they said, well, that doesn't count. If you want to have doctorate in metaphysics, you've got to repeat the bachelor and the master's in metaphysics. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So I did. And I did it with great pleasure because metaphysics is something that I live with. Mm-hmm. I've lived with all my life. I was born with it. So it's nothing that came to me later. I was born being very aware that I'm visiting this planet for a short time, and that I'm going to experience everything that I can, as much as I can.
Was there?
And it was very tough. It was very tough at the beginning, you know, because I was psychic and I was very sensitive, and I knew I was more in other dimensions than grounded. And nobody understood me. I had a tough time. So I was always considered spaced out, crazy, you know, different. Yeah.
Oh, none of us have ever heard those terms before. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so it's nice to be able to talk about it now since a few years. Huh?
Indeed.
Everybody's come out and saying the same thing. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things I find fascinating is the fact that people are coming out and they're speaking about their experiences. And I'm hoping that more and more people are doing that, and they're overcoming, or even in spite of, the fear they might feel over any kind of backlash or negative commentary, if you will, because I've always taken the position for many years that your experience is your experiences. I don't care what books I've read, and I don't care what doctrine or dogma that I might adhere to, and we all do at some level. If I devalue any of your experiences, then I have basically devalued you, because you are a compilation of your experiences.
That's right, yes.
Regardless of whether they're physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. And some folks have had some very profound spiritual experiences.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about you do use the word psychic, but you also refer to the sixth and seventh senses. Sixth being intuitive, but I had never heard of the seventh sense in that context. But then again, the mind had never been incorporated into the first five.
Yeah, well, you see, I this comes from Raja Yoga. That's from an Indian sage, Pantanjali. And Raja Yoga is called the King's Yoga. That's the yoga of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Vivekananda who teaches that. So I've done a lot of reading about that. I've studied and researched a lot all my life, really. And so this is now the time that we are going through now. We're witnessing this transformation, transcending to a new age. And what we need as a human family is to develop our sixth and seventh senses. You know how we have seven chakras, seven diamonds, seven everything, seven, seven, seven?
Yeah.
Well, we have also seven senses, but we only have five physical senses. So what are the sixth and the seventh? It's the intuition, which is the sixth, and then the higher abstract mind.
Okay.
And that is different from what one calls the concrete mind. The concrete mind is just busy with daily stuff, you know, getting upset about things, analyzing things, not having seeing only a part of, not a whole picture. When you develop your higher mind, abstract mind, you see things in an abstract fashion. You don't get involved emotionally. And you see, you have a bird's eye view of everything.
Is this something that existed years ago, or is this something
this
that's only...
This is a teaching from the Indian yoga, you know, the mind yoga, the science of yoga.
So that's been a part of...
They've been teaching for thousands of years.
Right, but we're only just now, in a larger context, we're only just now really coming to understand that it's there. Even though it's been in the writings for thousands of years, the rest of the world is just now coming to understand, number seven.
Right, right.
Okay.
And not many understand this even today. But the higher abstract mind is very important to develop in order to understand. And these two senses, the sixth and the seventh, which are abstract, which are invisible, which are not tangible, not physical, are very important to develop for another reason, because we live in a technical world where we're bombarded with information. I mean, there's so much information coming our way that if we're not alert, awake, aware, to be able to decipher very quickly good, bad, useful, useless, you know,
mm-hmm.
then we get caught up. We drown in the information.
I know a lot of people, that's happening. I have to, sadly, I am aware of at least two, if not three people, just in the last, literally within, inside mm-hmm. the month of September, and this is only the 22nd, who have decided that it was too much and checked out. They said, I can't take this anymore. And they've left.
Right. And that's why it's so important to develop that. And from my point of view, not enough people have actually woken up to this fact.
So as we really delve into this, how does one, what are the first steps to develop that higher mind?
Well, the thing is just that to be, you develop that by doing all the things that we are taught, that every therapist and spiritual teacher is teaching, by being self-reflective, by knowing the self, by calming down, meditating, focus, concentration, reflecting before speaking, controlling your emotions, your lower emotions, because there are lower emotions and higher emotions. That's the vices and the virtues. You know, love, mm-hmm. compassion, kindness, generosity versus anger, hate, fear. So all of that has to be controlled. And therefore, the mind is like a muscle that has to be trained. And so you go through the steps of training yourself to control all of that, all of those emotions. And that's how your mind gets stronger. The muscle gets stronger. Hmm. And meditation, of course.
My introduction, I mean, you have mentioned a couple of things that I'm quite familiar with. My introduction into this whole realm, again, at the age of 17, was through Paramahansa Yogananda's book, Autobiography of a Yogi. And I'm most familiar, of course, with Patanjali and the Vedas and the yogis that he and his gurus and so forth, Lahiri Mahashai and Sri Yukteswar and Babaji mm-hmm. and so forth and
mm-hmm.
so on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yes.
One of the things that I find so fascinating, and I even tie this in with Oriental medicine, if you will, mm-hmm. That's been around for 5,000 years or more, they have no FDA. They have no MAA. They just know that it works. And that's one of the interesting questions that was raised to one of my guests when he was on the program and providing information to people. And that question came from a caller who said, well, how do you know it works? And he says, mm-hmm. you know, I've never been asked that question before, but my answer would be, I just do. Yeah. It just works.
Yes.
And so that, to me, it was one of the interesting things, too, that most all of the religions of today that go back the thousands of years mm-hmm. are all metaphysical, because the definition of metaphysics is beyond the physical.
That's right.
And so if you have a faith-based belief system in mm-hmm. a higher power that mm-hmm. is, for the sake of argument, outside yourself, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that's beyond the physical. You can't touch or feel or taste or smell. Maybe you can hear, but that's with the inner ear.
Mm-hmm.
That's beyond the physical. It's metaphysical.
That's right. Yes.
And there's nothing new agey or woo-woo about it. It just
nothing
is.
Nothing at all, no.
It's just a
science. It's a science.
Yeah.
Like everything else. And it has to be understood and studied and experienced, especially.
So when you began your course in metaphysics, you began studying all of these ancient religions, not just those, say, from the areas of India, the Vedas?
Well, I have to tell you that my studies, what I do, what I research, all the Eastern scriptures and ancient writings, that's not what is included in the doctor's degree in this university. So I have that plus on top.
So you went the extra mile to study those?
Yes. I've studied that even before I did the doctorate.
You already had a great foundation going in.
Yes. I have a foundation from my birth, because my father's from India, my mother's from Syria. I was born and brought up in Baghdad. So that's two ancient cultures that I was born with, and I'm very aware of that. It's there. I can't explain it. It's not like I live in the past or anything like that, but it's there.
Right.
So I have that plus. It's the richness that I have with me. And so I just build on that. And then, of course, I came to the West I was 20, and I was very eager to come to. I actually wrote a book about my 20 years in Baghdad called Once Upon a Time in Baghdad.
I'm fascinated by that, and that's dealing with the time of the 40s and 50s, 1940s
yes,
and 50s.
Exactly, yes, because it's nothing like what it is today. Life was so different. And it's not a story of rape or violence or anything at all, or wars or anything. I had a very nice young life, and life was full of fun, full of laughter, full of color, and Christians, Muslims, Jews were living together, partying together, having fun together, working together. There was no problem whatsoever. It was like any other Western city. Unfortunately, it's nothing like that. And I wrote the book because every time I mentioned that I was from Baghdad, someone would say to me, oh, you're Muslim. And I would say, no, I'm Christian. And they would say, how come? Are there any Christians in the Middle East? So I said, well, where did Christianity begin? Did it begin in Rome? You know, people think that it began in Rome, in the Vatican. But that's not the case.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a sad indictment on our educational system. Just a sidebar there. Now, you've written several other books as well. I mean, you've been rather prolific in the last 6 to 8 years, especially. Again, the one that I'm always intrigued because I've often used the analogy that man, science in particular, let's just say there are 10 million laws of the universe. Mm-hmm. Man has learned 9 and says, we've got it now. We know how the universe works. And then suddenly number 10 pops up. Oh, and now right. We know it all. And it's like, oh, come on. You know, we're always learning and growing. So what I'm curious about is how you came up with or where you came up with
right.
the 269 cosmic and universal laws.
Okay. That's because with all my reading and researching and so on, I came constantly across law of this and law of that. So after I went through about 20 or 30, I thought to myself, hey, wait a minute. I want to know if there's a book about these laws. And I did research about that, and there wasn't any. So I started writing down myself. Every time I read something about a law of this, a law of that, I started making a list. And in the end, I thought, well, if I can't find a book that gives me all the laws all at the same time, then I'm going to do the book myself.
Might as well write it yourself, myself. Exactly.
Exactly. And so I did the first one, which had 240 or something like that. The first one called Flowing with Universal Laws. And then I updated with another 20, which I found later. And now I have this one, Cosmic and Universal Laws, with 269. And I can tell you that anybody who is on the path of spirituality, they really don't have to do anything but look at these laws and understand them and live by them and integrate them into their life. And then they're well on their way to develop intuition, to develop, you know, finding the self, to develop the higher mind. But just by understanding these laws, and I've written it in a very simple way for the layman to understand. There's no mystical stuff about it, and it's very practical, but very, very profound and very helpful to people who want to know how to. It will help one to better their life. And it's not a book to read from beginning to end like a story or like a novel. It's a book that you can open up anytime, anywhere, on any page, and just read a law,
mm-hmm.
and then just sort of think about that law for that day. On the other hand, if you have a problem with something, then you can also refer to the book about that problem that you're having, whether it's relationship or whatever else it is, and then you read what it says about that.
So it's indexed in more than just one way.
Yes,
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm curious, from the Christian tradition, for example, because the Christianity also loves to delve back into the Old Testament, my understanding from my reading of the Bible, both Old and New Testament, that there are some 600 and, I think, what, 17 or 20-some-odd laws under the Old Covenant, but that in the New Testament, Jesus came to basically codify or combine all those laws into one, and that was do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So
Absolutely.
I'm curious, is there one law that wraps up all 269?
Well, the thing is, if one would live by that, do unto others as they would do unto you, then that would be great.
You wouldn't
but
need the
does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody does. But in order to develop yourself, your consciousness, to evolve consciously, you need to work on other things as well.
Yeah, interesting.
You see, because there's fear, there's jealousy, there's envy, there's hate, there's ego, there's, a lot of stuff that one has to anger. There's a lot of stuff that one has to overcome and learn to deal with and to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Gossiping is one. Gossip. How many? I had one workshop.
Huge.
This was years ago. I gave a workshop, and then this woman says to me, "But how can you live a life without gossiping?" She couldn't imagine that one could not gossip, that one could live a life without having to gossip. Yeah.
I've been fairly fortunate, although I guess it really depends. I guess it doesn't really depend upon how you define it. Gossip is gossip, regardless of how you paint it, so to speak, what color you put on it.
Yeah.
But I've been fairly fortunate that in most of the places that I've been, there's been very little, but it there has been some. I mean, and I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I'm just as guilty as the next guy.
Well, the way to stop it, I've been asked that, how do you stop when people gossip? So I say, just don't react, don't say anything. If someone starts talking to me about someone else, I just stay quiet and let them talk and talk and talk until they realize themselves they're having a monologue, and then they feel stupid.
Margo's website is Margo Kitagar, that's M-A-G-R-O-K...
No, M-A-R-G-O.
I beg your pardon. M-A-R-G-O-K-I-R-T-I-R-I-K-A-R. I'll get there. .com. We'll give that one more time. Margo Kitagar. Again, that's KIRTIKAR.com. And you then will have links to several other websites that she has. One is Once Upon a Time in Baghdad. Another one is on Visions Unusual. I would like to talk to you about that when we get back from our break, as well as some of the other things that you're involved in. We'll talk more about metaphysics and its role in our daily lives, some of the ancient things that maybe we've incorporated and didn't even realize it. That might be an interesting direction as well. I also want to let you folks know that this particular program, we are going to have an after view. When we're finished with the radio show, Margo and I are going to continue on talking about a lot of different subjects. We hope that you will go to the archives page as well as to atozen.fm to hear the extended version of this particular program. It's kind of fun to do that. It's my way of saying thank you for joining us, and here's a little gift for you, so we encourage you to check that out. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we will be back in just a few moments.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Here's today's Chari Center of Health powerful quick tip for natural weight loss. Water lowers the amount of fat stored in your body. Drink water to lose weight. Try to drink a minimum of 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Water is the safest and most effective weight loss supplement on the market today. Being even 1% dehydrated can cause a significant drop in metabolism, which can also interfere with weight loss. Here's how. If you drink enough water, your kidneys will do their job of excreting toxic waste products from your body, and your liver can focus 100% on burning stored fat for energy. So the more water you drink, the less fat you'll store in your body, and the less water you drink, the more fat you'll store in your body. So drink at least 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Other benefits in addition to a better metabolism include great complexion and better muscle tone. Here's another secret. Water prevents you from overeating. Water creates that feeling of fullness and helps to suppress your appetite. Just drinking one glass of water 30 minutes before a meal is a good way to keep you from overeating at a particular meal and enhances your digestion. Preventing overeating, which is one of the main causes of weight gain, will not only help you maintain your current body weight, but will also help you to lose weight.
And water has zero calories. If you substitute all your sodas, coffee, teas, and beer for a glass of water, you could lose a good amount of weight. If you were to replace two bottles of soda with two bottles of water every day, you would be cutting 500 calories from your daily diet and potentially lose a pound a week. So be sure to drink at least 64 ounces of water throughout the day for the benefits of weight loss, to prevent overeating, and to increase your metabolism.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We're here to talk with Beth McDonald, our astronomical and astrological assignment editor. We are into the next phase of seasons, the autumnal equinox. I've always loved that word, autumnal.
Yeah.
And another transition period. And it never is always on the same date, but it is always at the same time as far as the lunar calendar is concerned, because that's basically how it's set up. Let's talk a little bit about that and the transition. We had a new moon last week in Virgo. Where are we today?
Well, today we have a waxing half moon in Capricorn, and this is actually the actual day of the fall equinox, which in two cultures that I know of, I'm sure there's more than that, one is the Jewish calendar and one is the Chumash, the original inhabitants of this part of California.
Oh, okay.
This was very much the holiest time of the year. This was the end of the harvest season. This is where we're bringing in everything that we've worked so hard to create, both literally and figuratively, and kind of coming together as a community to honor each other, to honor the souls that have passed in the last year, to kind of reconcile, especially in the Jewish tradition, with each other. You know, we ask for forgiveness, we own our sins, we cop to it, and we attempt to make it right. And so this is, you know, as the sun moves from Virgo to Libra, there's this ever so subtle shift from kind of more personal spiritual things to more of a community spiritual thing. You know, we have to make things right with each other to get through the darker days, the colder days of the year.
And we're still in the process, too. You mentioned last week about kind of preparing the new moon and especially the fiscal aspects.
Yes.
But we're in that phase. We're still in harvest, depending upon, you know, we have those 2 or 3 months,
right,
August, September, and
right,
October, and we're still gathering nuts for the winter, so to speak, euphemistically
right,
speaking. And that's extremely important to stay focused on because, again, as you just stated, and I know that I've been looking at the Farmer's Almanac. I think I'm going to become rather fixated on that for the next
year.
Because I was noticing, I've been hearing people saying El Nino, lots of rain. I'm thinking, okay, I better start preparing the firewood for, you know, the winter, you know, the fall and winter.
Things like that.
The first frost is supposed to hit here sometime in the middle of December, and the last frost somewhere in, I think, March of 2013. So these are all tied together. It's all a part of having your, again, euphemistically speaking, your ducks in a row so that you can face each day, again, in that peaceful and relaxed mode, knowing, okay, again, euphemistically speaking, my silo is full of the things that I need to get me through the dark part of the year.
Yes, and I am good with my community, so that if there is anything I need, if there's any way that my personal or material or spiritual harvest falls short during the winter time, I am beloved enough and connected enough with my community that I can ask for help and it will be given.
Mm.
It's you know, Libra rules aspects of communication, discussion, negotiation, mediation, problem solving. And so we're moving into a time, and it's fascinating with the election coming up, where there is more active discourse. We are discussing things. We are figuring it out.
Yeah. This is fascinating stuff. We'll talk more about it next week as well as we continue talking about the transition period that we're in right now. And obviously, we're going to be at the latter part of September, and we'll talk more about that as we enter that fourth quarter that you referred to last week, and we'll keep people updated. People can get in touch with you through BethMcDonaldConsulting.com and 963-0842. Beth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Professional glassblower and craftsman Saul Alcaraz of Santa Barbara Art Glass can teach you to make that special gift for that special someone.
I guarantee that if you come in here, you will make paperweights, tumblers, or a mug, a bowl. You will get it done on your first lesson, even if you've never done it. Guarantee.
If I wanted to learn how to blow glass, what do I need to come to Saul with?
You gotta be extremely hyper, especially if you're gonna be doing it professional. You only have like 5 seconds to work with. If you wanna create art and sculpting and all that kind of stuff, then it's not a problem. You can take your time. Glass will not break.
Can people come by the shop unexpected?
I like it when they come in unexpected, and they'll probably bring some good energy in. Our studio, it's at 706 East Mason Street, 2 blocks from Miopas in Santa Barbara.
How do people get a hold of you?
Check out my website, sbrglass.com, or call us at 805-965-1541.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
And we are back on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're talking with Margo Kitakara, and she has a website, margokitakara.com, and we are linked to her website. You'll be able to go to her website, and she has links to her other websites. As I mentioned before, Once Upon a Time in Baghdad is not only the title of a website, but also the title of one of her books dealing with Baghdad of the 1940s and 50s. And I have to tell you, it always fascinates me when I talk to people about history. You know, when you're talking about the history of a civilization, if they won the conflict that they were in that allowed them to continue on, they got to write the history. But what about the history of the quote-unquote losers, the victim, the vanquished? You know, they don't get to write a history, at least not unless they, you know, scurry off into a cave somewhere and they can chisel it into stone tablets or something. And that's unfortunate because we lose. I think that's one of the saddest things I think that a lot of us feel is that when there are these conflicts, those that go in there and usually win destroy the history
right.
of those they're destroying.
That is the most criminal thing, yeah. Like the Egyptian, the library.
Or even in Baghdad.
And Baghdad, what now, what happened was just criminal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's really, you know, it's unfortunate because we lose so much. What was it? The Library of Alexandria?
Yes.
Was lost. It
yes.
was just utterly destroyed. And then I think about the period of time when book burning was all the rage, if
okay.
you will.
Yes.
And every
yes.
once in a while, people want to do this. They want to burn these books.
Right up to Hitler's time.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, what did we lose? How much great literature and knowledge did we lose in these times down through history? But then I bring it back to the present day, and I'm sure, Margot, that you're familiar with the Akashic Records.
Yes.
Obviously, with your intuitive awareness, you could probably tap into any bits and pieces of information that are out there, because before a book became a book, it was a thought.
Yes.
And they say that thoughts never die.
Yeah.
That they're always out there.
Yes, that's right. And that's when you develop your abstract mind, you can tap into that.
So in a
just
manner...
Just like a radio station. Just like a radio station, you can tune into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in a manner of speaking, this information isn't really lost to us. Maybe on the physical plane, it's lost
to the masses. It's only available to the few who make the effort to evolve consciously and to develop all the faculties that have to be developed, the spiritual faculties.
That's the
problem.
It's interesting because I just received in the mail the other day a book that is supposedly the channeled information from Hemingway. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I know who Hemingway was, but why did, and I haven't read the book, so I don't have the answer to the question, but why would he feel the need to have this information channeled through a human being and then distributed to the masses? It must be something important there, you know.
Are you saying that Hemingway has channeled through someone now?
Yes, that's this book that I have says basically that. You know, this is information from Hemingway. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting read, to say the least. But I noticed that's been a big thing in the 70s, 80s, and 90s was channeling these notable individuals, you know, who have passed on. Or when you talk about reincarnation and past lives. Oh, I was Cleopatra. Oh, I was, you know.
Don't you find that funny that happens a lot only in America?
Yeah, as opposed to, oh, I was a peasant. There's no real big deal in, I was a peasant, you know? Or I was a farm boy in England somewhere in the 1400s. But it is interesting to take a look at that kind of esoteric information in terms of the realities, if I can use the word, in the realities of reincarnation, in the realities of these souls or these entities being channeled and this information coming through. Do you find that there is, in your background and in your education and in your awareness, there's some validity to some of this? Or is it sidetracking us?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I always sort of listen to the channelings with tongue in cheek. As I say before, isn't that funny that the channelers only work through Americans, through America?
I don't find that
anywhere else.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
You don't have that happening in Europe. Oh, and I should let our listeners know.
Not in the East either, not in India either.
Right. And I should let our listeners know how committed this woman is to the work that she's doing. She is, this conversation is live. It's 3:44 Pacific time here on the West Coast. It's 12:44 Swedish time.
Swiss time.
I beg your pardon. Swiss time.
So for me, it's Sunday already.
It's already
Sunday.
And how is You're Sunday, by the way? I always find that funny. So how is Sunday? Is it going to be a good day for all of us?
It's dark outside.
Sunday will be dark. Take that. Write that down. Sunday will be dark.
It's midnight, Sunday morning, early.
But I thank you so much for taking the time, especially this late hour, to be joining us. And you shared with me, you said you'd set three different alarm clocks to make sure that you were awake stayed awake for the program. And so at 1 a.m. we'll let you go and you'll be able to jump into bed and get some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So when is your program on A2Zen.fm? When can people hear you?
On Tuesdays. On Tuesday at 2 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time, I think. Yeah,
okay,
New York time.
2 p.m. Eastern Time, and
every
that would
second.
Be 5 p.m., I think. I always get this all newfangled up here. I think that's 11 a.m. West Coast time.
California time.
California time. So on Tuesdays at 11 a.m., if you want to go to AtoZen.fm and hear Margot. Mm-hmm. And now, do you take phone calls?
Yes. I haven't taken any. Nobody has called so far, but yes, absolutely. When people don't know me yet.
They will.
So, but when they do and they call, that's fine, yes. You can take phone calls.
So,
we set up for that at AtoZen.fm, yes.
So as an intuitive, have you ever gone down the path of providing readings for people, giving people information from...
No, I don't do that.
And why don't
what
you?
What I do is, I don't know, because my work, my calling, my... I can't explain it. It's just so. What I do is when people are lost on the path in any way or fashion and they are looking for help, for guidance, in whatever way, whether they're emotionally upset, whether they're just lost, people come to me with all kinds of problems. It could be divorce. It could be loss of job. It could be that they have money, they have love, they have everything in their life, but they come to me and say, I have this empty feeling in my chest. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do about it. I'm not happy, even though I have everything. So I help them with that. That's what I do. I set them on. They're at a crossroad in their life, and I put them straight on to the right path by talking to them. I talk to them. When I am with someone, I immediately can tell at what evolution level they are at, and then I help them from there. So I don't have a plan. I don't have a program or something that I have prepared. I take it simply as is when I'm with them and deal with what they need.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about that evolutionary level. Do you have any kind of a scale that you go by as far as and markings along the way, lower to higher consciousness, so to speak? I mean, because we're all at different levels, and I think it would be kind of interesting if there was a way for us, so to speak, I don't know if I want to use the word tested, but monitored to see, okay, I'm getting to, you know, level four, I'm down at level two, and I'm not really happy here, but I need to find a way to move. I need to move up that ladder. I'm not happy down here.
Well, I'll tell you, my first book that I wrote when I went through my first calamity economically was You and Change. Every time I've written a book, it's because I've gone through a disaster in my life. So instead of, I get depressed for one day maybe, and then I get lost for one day thinking, what shall I do? And then I quickly get an idea and I sit down and do a book about it. So I write about negative and positive energies, and that's really the basic of what everybody has to do. That's important, because you cannot move up on the spiritual ladder, spiral,
right.
and think about bigger things when you cannot control your anger or fear, for example. These are basic negative traits that you need to deal with first.
Okay.
It's like learning university level books when you haven't even finished your primary.
This
is important. That's something what people have to understand, that they need to get rid of addictions, of envy, doubt. How many people say, you know, when they have something wrong, oh, where is God? Why doesn't he help me? What is the meaning of that? It's not, there is no God up there who's saying, you know,
yeah,
this idea that people have, why does it happen to me? Why not? You know?
Yeah.
So the thing is that one has to wake up to this fact and get rid of all negativity so that one is in the light. And the way you get rid of negativity is by, that's what I tell people when they come to me, is by concentrating on the positive. So you don't get angry by, you don't get rid of anger or hate or fear by focusing on that. You focus on love, compassion, and kindness and empathy. And you train yourself to do that day after day with great effort. You tell yourself to be compassionate. You fill your heart with love. You train yourself to be kind, to be generous, mm-hmm. to be understanding, to be forgiving. And then you're well on your way. Hmm. Yeah?
It is the focus. It is absolutely the focus. And and if we don't sharpen that focus, we will constantly be, I'll say, distracted. We'll be sidetracked, if you will, from our purpose, our soul's purpose, if you will.
Yeah.
You're listening to Tell Me Your Story. Margo Kitakar is my guest, and we're talking about the whole gamut of things in regards to metaphysics. And MargoKitakar.com is the website. We are linked there at RichardDugan.com on the radio show's page following this program. This program will be available for you to listen to. We'll be rebroadcast again at A2Zen.fm Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. So if you'd like to hear this program again, as a matter of fact, if you're only hearing the A to Zen program and you'd like to hear these programs, especially the live programs where we have guests on who are taking readings or taking your calls, you need to tune in on Saturdays. And you can go to the Richard Dugan Radio Show's page, or actually any of the pages, and you can click on the click to listen live. And the phone numbers to call are there, and all the information that you need is located there. And then you go to the guests' websites. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. I encourage you to go to their websites so that you can get the information directly from them, including the plethora of books that that Margo has written.
And I have some free ebooks to download. I have also.
Oh, wonderful! By the way, I was very intrigued by your book, You and Change, because it brought to mind a book that I was made mandatory at one job that I was working at. It was called Who Moved the Cheese? And I read that book, and at the end of the reading of that book, I said to my boss, I says, I don't have a problem with people moving my cheese. Just tell me you're going to move it. And I guess that's still a part of the problem of people moving my cheese. But I know that change, which is the constant in the universe, it's absolutely happening every instant that we exist. You know, I remember as a kid, I tried to blink at twice really, really fast, thinking that if I could blink twice really fast, that those two blinks were exactly the same, that everything in the universe stopped for those two blinks and then continued on. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that that was impossible. Because no matter how fast you blink, and a blink really isn't that fast in say, subatomic discussions, everything is in motion all the time, whether it's on a micro or a macro level. So you can never duplicate exactly anything.
I know. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, that's a fantastic idea. I mean, when you think about it, it's I get the shivers, because we are talking now for how long? Almost an hour?
Almost an hour.
We're not the same. We're not the same anymore. Not even 5 minutes ago. Not even 1 minute ago.
Oh, and
it's always different.
Yeah. That's also a warning that I give to my listeners. Yeah. Usually I give the warning after the at the end of the program instead of at the beginning. Because I say that it's extremely important, the things that you listen to. And you need to be careful what you listen to. However, if you've listened to this program, it's too late. You've already heard it, and now you're going to have to deal with it. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It can actually be a good thing. But at least you've been exposed to some things that you might not have been otherwise. Before we wrap up the program, let me ask you, who is Margo Kitakar?
Oh, God, it's a very complex,
That's an easy question.
Very complex. Very complex being. I don't really know what to say to that. I'm just me, very complex. I don't even understand me, because I have so much going on inside me, so much. But the one thing that I know is that I'm also no one.
Hmm.
What do you say to that?
I say my next question.
I want to tell you quickly about my last book that I wrote. I'd like to mention that very quickly because that has a lot to do with the coming golden age, which I believe absolutely. Yeah? The golden age that's coming.
I'm hearing more and more about that.
Yes, absolutely. And so my book is Spiritual Heart Intelligence, which is very important. That's the Christ consciousness, the heart activated. And this is important because these are the people who are going to carry us forward to the new golden age. Mm. When the heart is activated and it's not the intellect and the brain anymore, it's the heart. And when one works with the heart, and I wish business people would...
You and me both. Matter of fact, to that, I noticed that you have on one of your websites a video with Greg Braden explaining what the heart is as the new science has begun to discover. He's talked about it on this program many times.
Everybody is speaking about it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But that's in the Vedas, you see? That's already in the Vedas.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? It's already there.
Everything. There's nothing new that is being said now that's not in the Vedas.
That's true. Margo, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing?
To help people along. That's what gives me the most pleasure, is to see when people's faces light up. When after they've been with me, they literally light up, and that gives me great pleasure. I'm not that famous. I'm not after fame or whatever. I don't make that much money either, but that's not my. I wish more people would read my books. I don't bother to do any marketing.
You just put it out there.
I just put it out there. And wait for people and let people find it, find their way to it. Find their way to me. I don't do marketing. You know, I don't market myself either. I just wait. People call me. They hear about me. It's always by word of mouth.
And we continue Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, with Margo Kitakar. And we're talking about a lot of different things, including these universal laws, Margo, that I find fascinating. And I know that really goes to the mental aspect, the intellect of the human being. Here's a structure. Here's something that I can latch onto and use to define my life, so to speak. So in a manner of speaking, there's a very positive way of looking at this because, you know, when you think about it, if there's just, quote unquote, the law of love, it would be great if we could just live by that. But I guess we as human beings need that kind of structure of sorts, don't we?
Yes. Here's a review on Amazon of someone wrote about my book, Cosmic Laws. Life itself is not chaotic, but mathematically organized. It moves always forward, changing, growing, evolving, always to something better and more intelligent. Oh, I think I wrote that. Not the review.
Well, that's perfectly fine.
Yes, but that explains. I mean, that is exactly how it is. And the universe is intelligent. Mm-hmm. There is a reason for everything that occurs, and it always makes sense.
Yeah.
And so we humans are who make it chaotic because we're violent and senseless. And so we need to really start understanding the universe, this force of nature that we live with. You know, a lot of people call it God, but it's just an intelligent force that permeates all of creation, all of us, and one has to be aware of that all the time.
Mm.
And then one is in awe of life, because life is so beautiful, really speaking, and it's just heartbreaking that we do with it what we do, we humans. It's really sad what goes on. Anyway, we are now living at the changing of as a threshold. We're witnessing. We're very lucky to be witnessing this special time when the changes of the ages, cycles of the ages.
It is something
very special time.
It is indeed. I've even heard the phrase in reference to the people who are here in this time. who yes. choose to stay,
right.
they are being, so to speak, labeled almost as heroes because they chose to come into this world at this time during this incredible time in history
yes.
for mankind.
To be helpful, yes, to lead, to guide, yeah. Yes, they're called light bearers, warriors of the light, rainbow warriors. These are the different names that are given.
I can honestly say, as listening to news reports of policemen and firemen and rescue workers who get labeled as heroes, and then they're interviewed and say, "Well, I was just doing, I just did what it's my job. It's just what I do." You know,
yeah.
I'm no hero. I just, you know,
right.
I mean, and I think that a lot of us feel the same way. It's like, this is just what I do. You
yes,
know?
Exactly.
You
yeah.
know, and I don't, you know, it doesn't make me feel any better or worse in that context. But I know that that's a phrase that has been used by many people to describe
yes.
the efforts. And that's the other thing, is that there are more and more people
mm-hmm.
who are beginning their journey, if
yes.
you will, down this
yep.
path, realizing
yep.
that they're tired of the way things have been, the old ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
as we've said many times on this program, what we're doing is we're looking for those new ways of living because the old ways don't work, and all you have to do is look around you. They're not working. Not
yeah.
everybody is benefiting from all of the advancements in all of the various realms of our civilization. And they
yeah.
all should be, they all can be, if we all make that decision to say, hey, enough is enough. This is not the way we're going to live anymore. We're going to change
That's
things.
That's right. And a lot of people have to speak up more. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the ways in which you... Well, actually, I want to ask you about some of your... maybe some of your early... spiritual experiences, if you will. I was asked this by my mother once, if I'd ever had any supernatural experiences. Honestly, I couldn't. I may have, but, you know, it was no big deal if that's what it was. Have you ever had any supernatural
experiences? Always.
Always.
I always have. Always. My memory goes back to when I was less than 2 years old. I remember things very, very clearly. And I know that I was younger than 2 years because I have a sister who's exactly 2 years younger than me,
mm-hmm.
and she wasn't born yet, were the things that I remember. And I remember sort of being an old person, almost stuck in this little body. and even as a child, when I would say something to my mother, when I would get exasperated because my father was very authoritarian, and I would tell her I would pull at her skirt and tell her to speak up. I came up to her knees, I think, and then she would give me a tap on the head and tell me to shut up, you know, you little thing, what are you? And I would say, what are you scared of him for? Speak up, tell him what you think, tell him you don't like that, you know.
Oh, my.
So, and I was always, you know, the observer. You've heard of the observer,
yes,
right?
Yes, very much, yes.
Okay.
Try
so
to be
my
it more
observer,
often.
My observer was totally active right from the start. I could put myself up in a corner on the ceiling and watch everybody, including myself, you know, with whatever it was that was happening. And... I was always aware of my guardian angels.
Mm-hmm.
I was always aware that I was protected. Mm. So, yeah. And telepathy was always active with me. And I always could see through people. You know how people put on
a mask?
A show as,
yeah.
Yes, a
mm-hmm.
mask as to who they are and so on. But I could see right through them like an X-ray.
Yeah.
And people felt it. And the people who were more on the negative side felt very uncomfortable in my presence.
Now, did these abilities that you've talked about, from your perspective, did they seem to hinder or help your relating to other people?
Of course it hindered. That's what I said at the beginning. I was considered crazy. I was considered different. I was considered... you know, whatever they considered these people were.
Right,
I mean, I have three daughters, and they used to tell me, 100 years ago, you would have been, you probably were burnt at the stake 10 times over.
Oh, my. My. Yeah. Well, I mean, that is the cross that we bear. I mean,
300 years ago, yeah.
I mean, even I remember in my early days working in this business in a Christian station, and I was asking the wrong questions, so to speak. But the questions were there, and I was curious, and I wanted to know. And I even told people, I said, look, if they're going to brand me with a giant H for heretic on my chest, then so be it. I'll wear it proudly because, doggone it, I'm curious. I want to know. And I want to, not only do I want to know, but I want to know the truth. You know, don't give me these other things.
Yeah.
Well, Margo, I want to thank you for sharing your story and giving people an opportunity to hear you here today on the program. It's been a great joy to talk with you, and I look forward to having you back again. And if you do find yourself in the States and on the West Coast, I invite you on the program. We'll do hopefully a live program on one Saturday afternoon.
Thank you, Richard. Very nice of you to ask me to talk to you.
A reminder that Margo's website is margokitikar.com. That's margokitikar.com. The simpler thing is just to go to the link that we will have on our website that goes straight to margokitikar.com. I'm going to be checking out Cosmic and Universal Laws as well as You and Change. I think those are two that would go hand in hand really well in the context of our conversation today. And once again, Margo, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you too, Richard.
And a reminder that we will have the after view after the radio program ends in about 40 seconds or so. We encourage you to check out Margo's website, and we encourage you to check out all of our guests and the information that they have to offer. That's kind of what we're doing, Margo, the same kind of thing. We're just putting it out there, and hopefully people will pick it up, and we believe that the people who are in need of it, who are curious, who are led to it, will do so and get the help, the encouragement, the support, and so forth that they need. I'm Richard Dugan, and this has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday, love to all.